You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present the Health Hub, hosted by Kathy Biasi.
Welcome to the Health Hub on Radio Maria Canada, exploring cutting-edge health and wellness information and therapies helping you to take your health to the next level. I am your host, Kathy Biasi, and I am a holistic nutritionist and a cancer coach. Today's show is all about the power of letting go of relationships, circumstances, ideologies, and self-limiting beliefs that just do nothing to serve us. And our guest is Jill Shearer Murray. Jill is an award-winning author, journalist, communications expert, and TEDx speaker, and she is the founder of Let Go For It, a lifestyle brand aimed at improving people's situation through the simple mantra of letting go. Her TEDx talk, The Unstoppable Power of Letting Go, has millions of views on YouTube and breaks down her own journey of letting go to successfully move forward. She wrote her best-selling book, Big Wild Love, The Unstoppable Power of Letting Go, for the many people who reached out from all over the world for advice and inspiration after seeing her talk. Jill studied improvisational comedy at the famous Second City Training Center in Chicago, wrote a popular blog called Diary of a Writer in Midlife Crisis for the former Wild River Review magazine, and she also let go of just about everything to put her weight in Shape magazine 12 times as part of a year-long assignment to document her weight loss journey for millions of readers. As a marketing and communications professional, she helps organizations let go for better business by educating, engaging, and inspiring audiences to action. We cover a lot of really poignant, really personal, relevant information in this show. Letting go is something that all of us in one shape or form, need to do at some point in our lives. So we talk about what letting go really means, why it's so hard for some people to begin the process of letting go, how you know when it's time for letting go, all of the circumstances around this. I really, really do hope that you stay and listen to the show. It really is inspirational. Jill's a wonderful speaker. Everybody will be back in just a few minutes to talk to Jill Shearer Murray.
When you see broken beyond repair, I see healing beyond belief. When you see too far gone, I see one step away from home. How many times can one heart break? It was never supposed to be this way. Look in the mirror, but you find someone you never thought you'd be. I paid, and there's nothing you could ever do to lose what grace has won. So hold on, it's not the end. No, this is where love's work begins. I'm making
child, my beloved, the new creation. You're becoming. You see the scars from when you fail, but I see the stories they will tell. You see worthless, but I see priceless. You see pain, but I see a purpose. You see unworthy, undeserving, but I see you through eyes of mercy.
When you see broken beyond repair, I see healing beyond belief. You're not too far gone.
You're one step away from home. When you see nothing but damaged goods, I see something good in the making. I'm not finished yet, no. When you see wounded, I see mending. Oh, I see mending.
You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with the program, The Health Hub, hosted by Kathy Biasi.
Welcome back, everybody. We are, or I am, very happy to have Jill on the show. We've talked a bit about her just before the break. Jill, I've heard your TED Talk, I've powered through your book, and I just knew that you would be someone who would inspire the listeners here. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me so much. I really appreciate being here. And you reading and watching and doing all the things, Kathy. Thank you.
Oh, well, you know, when a subject is, you know, I've many times in my life, I have had to let go of different things. Relationships aren't one of them, really. And I know that's where you've come from in this space. But I think the power of letting go and the pathway of letting go, you know, from your material is similar. And I think that that's why it's important that we preface this by saying, yes, relationships are a part of this process, but so many things can be helpful when you understand that sometimes holding on too tightly is just the very opposite of what you need to be doing. But before we get into that, we need to preface all of this with your story. How did you get into this space?
Well, you know, it's so interesting that you say all that. And I love that you're saying all that because, you know, when I gave my TED talk or my TEDx talk, my intention was to give a talk broadly about letting go, not to be so focused, super focused on relationship, the relationship aspect. And so I opened my talk with the story about a huge letting go for me, which was about a relationship that I had been in for 12 years with someone who, you know, didn't want to get married. And I did. And it's not an uncommon story, except that I stayed really long, hoping that would change. And ultimately, I wound up letting go of that relationship and how, you know, sort of my life opened up after that and freed me and created, I was able to create space in the letting go for the relationship and the love that I really wanted. But, you know, my intention with the TEDx talk was to really talk broadly about, you know, how someone that I really loved and that was meaningful for me had died. And I started to think about my life differently. And I started to realize that not just me, but people around me, we were all holding on to these things that just were holding us back in life. We were holding on to, you know, jobs and friendships and, you know, mentality, ideas about things we should and shouldn't be doing. And even, you know, things about, especially things about ourselves and how we saw ourselves that just weren't forwarding us. So I became very passionate about the idea of letting go. And that's what compelled me after having this loss and realizing, you know, hey, we're not going to be here forever. You know, we better do the things We better let go of the things that aren't serving us so that we have space for the things that can serve us and that we want to serve us and move forward. And that's what really was the motivation for me to give the talk. It was interesting that I opened with this big story and so many people started to come to me and write to me based on letting go and love from all over the world. It was, you know, I don't know why I was surprised by it, but I was very surprised. You know, my talk is almost working its way up to 5 million views. And I just think, you know, letting go and love is so complicated. So I wrote a book, but the principles, you're right. And I'm so glad that you recognize this. You know, the principles in the book that I write are very much intended for all of the things that we're holding on to in all areas of our life and not just love. So I'm thrilled to be here with you, Kathy, talking about it. And
When I was listening to your TED talk and when I actually saw the subject matter, there's one thing that it may sound very odd. One relationship of letting go that I found was very poignant for me, in cultivating a deeper relationship, and that was with my children. Mm-hmm. And I found that, you know, this day and age, we have, or I shouldn't say this day and age, I have adult children living with me. Very hard to afford a house. Kids are getting married a little bit later. So, you know, kids aren't out of the house. Or if they go out of the house for school, they're back in. So I have adult children living with me. And as a mom, you know, you're very protective. At what time are you going to be home? Where have you been? Whatever. And I felt at one point that there was a battle going on between them wanting to be adults and living their own life and me holding on. Mm-hmm. And I made a choice, which was very difficult because it was like, I've got to trust. I've got to not be afraid. I'm not going to listen for them coming home at night. And I thought, I've got to let go of the mom of the children and transform into a mom of adults. And it was it sticks out in my mind very clearly. I know exactly, you know, when I was thinking about it, when I made that choice. And the power of letting go has been a poignant point in me as a mom, because mm-hmm. I think our relationships improved drastically with that. Mm-hmm. So relationships of various sorts, think are impacted by letting go. But what do you mean when you say letting go?
Yeah. And well, I mean, first of all, that's such a great example, you know, and you know, you hear people talk about like empty nests and all that, and there's so much to let go of, but you're right. I mean, so many people have adult children now living with them. How do you make that transition? I mean, you have to sort of release mm-hmm. what once was and now kind of accept and embrace the reality of what is. So I mean, letting go is not about, you know, acceptance or coping or giving up. There's nothing at all defeatist about letting go. It's not about normalizing, but it's really about true detachment. So it's really about, like in my situation with my relationship, for example, in that scenario, it was really me saying, you know, I am going to move on from this relationship, as painful it is for me to do so, as hard as it is for me to acknowledge and accept the reality of my situation, which is that I'm here after 12 years single and having to figure out and start all over. I am detaching, I'm taking from that experience what I really need to learn and what I need to move forward with a lot of grace and love for myself. And I am also wishing that other person well, even if they'd hurt me, even if they'd done things, because that was the only way that I was able to fully detach from the experience without holding on to animosity or what ifs or this is not fair or injustice or like I had given over something that I could never reclaim. So it really is about true detachment, and it's hard. You know, it's not easy to let go, and it takes time to let go. Like, you know, I say it didn't take me, you know, this one moment that I had like, oh, now I have to really let go and leave this relationship. And then I did it the next day. It's a process. And I think no matter where you're letting go in your situation, I mean, certainly that sounds like it took a lot of time spent in the mirror, right? Mm-hmm. Thinking about like, you know, where you are in life and you know, your children and where they are in life and the environment and the world that we're in around us, and muddling through like, what are my options here? And is there a way for me to kind of bridge the gap between treating them still like the child and then treating them like the adult? So you've got, you know, one foot in the house and one foot out of the house, and, you know, working your way, like, what does it mean to me now, as, you know, where I am in life, to see them as adult children and to, you know, let go with that grace for myself too. So there's a lot of, it requires a lot of time really being introspective, really being with yourself, looking at a lot of limiting beliefs and really finding, you know, I title my book Big Wild Love, and not primarily about letting go, because this was the one common denominator that I saw in all people in all situations around letting go, which is ultimately the belief that no matter what happens to us, no matter what we let go of, we will still be okay because we have ourselves. So it kind of, it takes the, you know, letting go involves risk. Letting go to treat your children like an adult can, to me, seems like it might be very scary, or, you know, obviously you have to let them go and make mistakes, or there's risks where you can't control it all, you can't call it all. So we really need to be very grounded in this sense of understanding what's driving us and loving ourselves, so that we know if we let go, if we get to the edge of the cliff and we don't see a net, we'll jump because we know that we're in the net. We'll always be okay. It won't always be easy, but we have ourselves. And so we understand how to take care and be okay inside of that risk, which will then inspire us to let go, even if it's hard. I don't know if that makes sense, but
it does. And, you know, just in hearing you talk and, you know, paralleling it with my story, I thought I was doing it for the benefit of my kids. And I think I was. But it really helped me. And I think that introspection can be a dark place to go to for some. And could it possibly be because we hold on to beliefs that either have never served us or have had their space and time and need to be reevaluated? Is that a tricky piece of this puzzle?
Absolutely. I mean, and I would say yes to both of those things. I mean, you know, first of all, we get beliefs in childhood when we don't even know that we're getting them. And we don't even know that they're sort of what's driving us. They're the fuel that are having us, you know, make decisions about the choices that we're making in life. So the easy example for me, the easiest example for me is that, you know, I, like so many other people, had a very loving, but, you know, my mother was very focused on my weight. And so I took that into the dating life to think, if I'm not, you know, this, if I don't have this perfect body, I would be lucky to have anybody, which is a belief that was never true. But until I ultimately examined the reasons why I kept finding myself in these situations that never led to where I wanted them to go, or didn't serve me, or didn't make me feel good, I finally had to uncover that belief. And so that was a belief for me. But, you know, as we get older, we acquire all kinds of beliefs, you know, I'm too old to find love, or what will happen to me if I don't have my kids in the house anymore, or if I let go of this job, or if I let go of this argument inside of my marriage. You know, not so sometimes you don't have to let go of things holistically. You don't have to let go of an entire job or a relationship, but what will happen to me? What am I holding on to it so tightly for? What is the payoff to that? And how does it track back to a belief I have about myself and the world around me that I'm choosing to hold on to? And that is not necessarily true. In fact, it's probably only true if I say it's true. And, you know, Kathy, we are never done with those limiting beliefs. And, you know, the other thing I'll say is, when I uncovered the limiting belief about my mother, who I love, who, you know, is a very wonderful person, it was hard because now I had to contend with the feeling I had about her as an adult, able to choose that belief. And so there's all sorts of reasons why we don't want to look at those beliefs. We don't want to go to that subconscious place. There's lots of people who've suffered way more than I have. I mean, have abuse issues and all those other things. that makes it really hard to go to those limiting beliefs for fear of what they'll find there about themselves. But we have to, if we continue to make choices that are not serving us, and even if we're letting go of them, but we're again choosing the same things over and over, most often that can be tracked back to a limiting belief that either we got as a child we don't know we have, that never served us, or that maybe did serve us for a while, but now it's not serving us because we've changed, our life has changed, our desires have changed, our situation has changed. I think after COVID, so many of us are looking at our limiting beliefs about our lives and our work and our purpose, meaning. And, you know, it continues to drive us back to that introspection, which to your point is not always easy.
Well, and there are two paths, you know, as you're talking, that I think, like, to me, there is this understanding that as we evolve in intelligence, in age, in circumstance, we have to keep reevaluating because life changes. But then there's also this letting go piece that has been initiated by an event. Is the process the same, or have we evolved when we understand that, you know what, this is how I recognize that things aren't serving me. I've got to keep, you know, as I grow as a parent, as a husband, as a wife, as a sister, whatever, I have to keep going and moving forward and reevaluating all the time. Or do you always think that there's an event that catalyzes the thought of letting go?
That is such a great question. And I think it really depends so much on our personalities. You know, some of us are just naturally introspective and evaluating things all the time. But I think for a lot of us, we just kind of, you know, move. I don't want to use the word complacent because it has a negative connotation that I don't mean here. I think we just, you know, we just go about our lives and we're not really thinking all that hard about, you know, the things that are serving us and how that or not serving us and how that might attach to a limiting belief. Like, we don't wake up in the morning and say, what's the weather? And, oh my God, what do I believe about myself and myself in the world and myself in my job? So I just think most of us tend to just go along until, like, we stub our toe and it hurts. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then we start to think, something just feels off. And so we look for cues, you know, in our bodies and in our minds and in when we start to feel restless. And, you know, again, I come back to COVID. I mean, so many people were looking at their lives in an entirely different way inside the specter of COVID. And I start my letting go process always begins with having that epiphany. Where that epiphany, how, when it comes to you, I think for a lot of people, they were having epiphanies like, oh my God, I didn't realize until I had to slow down because of COVID that this was actually making me really unhappy. Mm-hmm. And so I do think for most of us, there is often a triggering event if we're not naturally predisposed to being super introspective every day, which I'm not sure is even a good thing or mm-hmm. a bad thing. You know, I mean, I know even for me, Kathy, for example, like I think about letting it go like everybody else does. We're never done with it. But there's times like I walk with my husband every morning and the dogs, and I had a friend who was making some decisions that I thought were just not great for her. And she kept spinning on them. And I would talk about it in these morning walks. And finally, he said to me, you know, you need to get into your letting go process. Why is this bugging you so much? And how long am I going to hear about it? And I did. And finally, I realized it was, you know, I was getting ready to make my own hard life choices. I realized that it was easier to spin on her life choices than look at what mine were. And so that was my epiphany. And once I had that epiphany about why I was so stuck on what she was doing, I was able to extricate myself from that focus and put it back where it belonged for me. But I do think epiphanies are really powerful in the letting go process. And I do think that most of us are triggered by them around an event, around a life change, around something that may be forced on us. And maybe even as we're growing older and we realize we can't do things that we used to once be able to do, or we don't have the same choices in front of us or the same palette of choices in front of us. And we just wake up one day and it just hits us. And I think that's a powerful, powerful moment for getting in the process of letting go.
And I too, I think as well as you get older and you know, you're mapping out life and your younger years. And as you get older, you have this, maybe an idea of what, you know, you've laid the groundwork. And this is the idea that I'm hoping that comes to fruition as I get older. And maybe that doesn't happen. And, you know, maybe that is a catalyst as well. I think sometimes ideologies that don't come into fruition and, you know, you can get disappointed. You can get disenchanted. You can get the, you know, I work so hard. Why hasn't this come? That is a very difficult space too. But I guess, you know, it is too. It's a catalyst. But it's, you mentioned something about defeatism. And I think, you know, I think we need to maybe turn off that idea that letting go is another analogy for defeatism. And I don't think that that's true. I think it's a time for introspection and perhaps, you know, letting go in whatever situation you're talking about is, again, a real opportunity for introspection. And why, you know, why isn't something that's supposed to be turning out for you not turning out? And why does that bother you so much? And that is an area of introspection. So it doesn't have to be a jolt, like hitting your toe, as you say, stubbing your toe. It can be an evolution of ideas that are just not, that are not coming into light and you have to reevaluate. We're going to take a quick break. And then I really want to get into the process of letting go and where we may fall into those pitfalls of not being able to. Everybody, we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Another heartbreak day. Feels like you're miles away. Don't even need no shade when your sun don't shine. Shine. Too many passing dreams roll by like limousines. It's hard to keep believing when it pass you by and by. It ain't over yet, it ain't over yet. So move, keep walking, soldier, keep moving on. Move, keep walking, until the morning comes. Move, keep walking, soldier, keep moving on. And lift your head, it ain't over yet, it ain't over yet. Echoing inside your head are the words that your sweet mama said. Shoot for the moon, my dear, so you took game out of this atmosphere. Between high stakes and pump fakes, like you can't vibrate.
I can hold your hand, but I can't turn your eyes to freedom. Finish yet. Hold on, hold on. He'll get you through this. Hold on, hold on. These are the promises I never will forget. I never will forget. So hold on, hold on. The Lord ain't finished yet. Hold on, hold on. He'll get you through this. Hold on, hold on. These are the promises I never will forget. I never will forget. I
know your heart been broke again. I know your prayers ain't been answered yet.
You are listening to The Health Hub here on Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are. To contact us and be a part of the show, email thh@radiomaria.ca. We now continue with the program. Here once again is your host, Kathy Biasi.
Welcome back. We were talking with Jill Shearer Murray. I love, love, love this conversation because it has benefits for everybody. This isn't just, you know, a disease and a cure. This is a constant evolution in life, and letting go is a big piece of it. There are going to be pitfalls, I imagine, Jill, that, you know, letting go isn't just a straight line. In your book, you talk about the tunnel of pain. Big Wild Love, we talk about the tunnel of pain. What is that?
Yes. Well, we've all been in the tunnel of pain, whether we know it or not. Mm-hmm. And that is when we know we've had that epiphany moment where we know something has to change, something has to give. And, you know, it's hard. And maybe it's letting go of a relationship. Maybe it's letting go of a friendship. Maybe it's letting go of a job. Maybe it's letting go of something you thought was true and you found out wasn't. Maybe it's a mindset or a goal or something you thought you'd have, you know, to your point, Kathy, like something you thought you'd have by now and you didn't. And so it's letting go of a picture or an image or an idea. It's hard to let go. And so, you know, I liken letting go, the actual act of doing it, to getting into, in a lot of situations, going through the tunnel of pain, which is where you know, in letting go of this thing that's got you stuck, that's no longer serving you, but at one time did, at one time had value for you. You know that it's going to be hard and it might be painful and it might be scary and it might be, you know, all of those things. And so I liken that to going through a tunnel of pain. And so tunnels are dark and they're cold and, you know, you're alone in there and they're wet and you don't know if you're going to get all way through the tunnel or how long it's going to take you to get to the light, or even if you'll get to the light. So, you know, we spend a lot of time standing at the foot of that tunnel, at the front of that tunnel, kind of like problem solving in our heads. You know, what is the easiest way for us to get through it? Can we walk over it? Can we swim under it? Can we run next to it? Can we do anything but go in it? And the answer is no. In order to truly let go and detach from the past, from the thing that no longer is serving us, we have to walk through that tunnel and we have to feel that fear and we have to go to those deep parts of ourselves and ask ourselves, you know, how, where we are from a resiliency and a self-understanding and a self-love perspective, and keep walking, even when it's hard, even when it's scary, to get to that light on the other side. And, you know, I do want to say that while I'm presenting this as a very scary experience, at the same time, again, Kathy, going back to the earlier conversation, and I love that you talk about the fact that there's nothing defeatist about letting go. This letting go in the way that I am positing it is can be a very empowering experience. It can be a very life-affirming experience. It can be the experience of choosing yourself over anything else that keeps you stuck, that you need to release in order to move forward. Mm-hmm. And so the tunnel of pain is really an opportunity to spend time in discomfort as a way to understand and empower yourself to move through to the light where you feel equipped to make better, more positive, more self, more aligned choices for yourself.
I also feel that one of the things about letting go, and again, it's a personal experience, is that it can be so liberating.
So liberating.
You're no longer holding on to things that are holding you down or holding you back. And, you know, when you go on this positive pace of letting go, it just generates so many other positive things and so many avenues that you never suspected. And it's such an important piece of life. I really do think that you can get so stuck you can hold grudges,
right.
I mean, ultimately, right, we're trying to cultivate happiness. And when you're trying to cultivate happiness, we need to look inward, I think. Because when we know what makes us happy,
for sure,
we can pull things that make us happier and we can push things away that lead us to unhappiness. We can identify that which is good and that which doesn't serve us.
We make much different choices for ourselves.
Yes.
You know, I mean, if we are not in an internal space of knowing ourselves and loving ourselves and embracing and having a clear positive connection there, we're not choosing accordingly. We're making different choices.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And yeah. Yeah. So I liken it to, you know, I love the idea. I mean, in my mind, letting go is always a positive thing to do, even if it's hard and sad or scary, whatever else it may be. And it isn't always that, you know, but it is. But I liken it to kind of being stuck in, you know, you're in a house and you want to get out of the house and you're stuck in the windowsill. Like you have one foot in the house, you have one foot outside, and it's a very uncomfortable space to be crouched in that windowsill. But inside the house is the same old thing that is not working anymore. And outside the house is all this fresh air and possibility. And so that's kind of a imagery that I like to think about even when I myself am going through the letting go processes. Do you want to stay in the house that's four walls that are keeping you enclosed? Or do you want to go out and see what else is out there that's going to serve you and fill you up in a positive way?
Yeah, it's like a life detox. You know, it's
it can be for sure. Yes.
If you keep reevaluating and trying, you know, I mean, like you said, there's a sweet spot, right? You don't want to keep ongoing what's new. But, you know, when you stub your toe, like you say, or something flares up and it's, you know, then this process starts. Getting rid of it is great. Now, when you get rid of these things, are we liking it to, you know, monkeys going from one ring to another? Are we letting go and grabbing on to something else? Or are we letting go and just going into space and nothingness?
I mean, you know, I think, and that's all that, that's a great question. I think one of the struggles that a lot of people have is that they're very uncomfortable in that empty space. Mm. And so there's always the rush to fill it. And, you know, many years ago, Kathy, I was a columnist for Shape Magazine, and I was their weight loss diarist. And they gave me access to a body image psychologist once a month for an hour. And one of the things she said to me, I never forgot. And she said, you know, when we let go of something, whether that's a person or an idea or weight, so often there's a void. There's a dark space as we reckon with it. And so often people rush to fill that void because they're uncomfortable inside of it.
It can take up so much of your mental space and life.
That's right. But what do we do? But the better thing to do, and I agree, is to, you know, you have to live inside of that void, because I think that's where so much of the magic happens. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, the void is that the middle of that tunnel. It's where we really get real with ourselves, where we have that time where there's not the external stimulus of whatever it is that we let go of, the noise or the chatter around it, that now we have the space and the time to just be with ourselves. And that can be a very uncomfortable place for people, or it can be a really you know, recharging space for people. And it's actually in my book, I have a letting go process. The first step in that process is having an epiphany that alerts you that it's time to sort of let go. This is the reality of your situation. But the second step is to sit inside the aftermath of that epiphany and deal with the consequences of what it's asking you to do, because that's where you get to evaluate all the things that you mentioned earlier, which is, you know, why did I choose that? Why did I stay there? Why was that hard for me? What role did I play in that situation? What are the takeaways for me? What are the lessons that I need to learn? But, you know, we also need time to be sad and have feelings about, you know, sort of the loss that can be associated with letting go and the grief that can be associated with letting go. And so it's being in this stillness and in this void, for lack of a better word, where we get to do all of that. And if we go from ring to ring, if we go straight from having the epiphany to choosing the very next thing, there is a high probability we're going to choose exactly what we left. Because we haven't done the work to understand and to reconsider that when we go back out into that scenario where we're making choices, now it's time to use that information we've processed to make different choices, better choices for ourselves.
So there's this isn't a passive process. You're letting go and you are continually trying to reevaluate. You're trying to see, but this isn't a blame game, right? Because then that again is an issue that is just a negative connotation. And we want to spin positive on this. We can cultivate our own ideologies that don't serve us, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I always say, like, you know, our beliefs are not true unless we say so. Mm-hmm. Like, we can choose. We can choose in 5 minutes to think something completely different about ourselves. And we can make the commitment to embodying that new belief. You know, but I love that you're saying that it's not a passive process, because it's not. Because the thing is that we're letting go from the time we're born. We're just not paying attention. We're letting go every time we make a choice. You know, there's opportunity cost to every choice that we make. Mm-hmm. But the letting go in the positive way is really, you know, again, it's an active empowering process. It's us choosing. It's us saying, you know what? I'm not going to keep making the same choice that's going to lead me to the same place that I don't want to be. And I have the power inside of me to make a different choice based on a different belief, a different ideology, a different set of goals that I now know are possible for me and that I am worthy of. I believe all limiting beliefs speak to those two things, that, you know, they tell us that what we want is not possible or we're not worthy of it. And so if I think about, like, you know, all the various limiting beliefs that I know I've had in my life and that I always have to be, you know, watchful of, they all tell me I can't have the things that I want or I'm not worthy of them. But then I, through the act of awareness, I can change that talk track. I can say, that's not true. I can say it out loud to myself, you know, thank you, limiting beliefs, not today.
Yeah.
Today, I'm going to choose to think this, because this is going to serve me far better and advance me closer to the things that I want in life. So it's not saying they go away, they magically go away. No, but if we have an awareness of them, when they crop up, and they do, we can just, you know, kind of whack-a-mole them back down and say, no, this is not true. Understand this is maybe part of me, but it's not true. I'm pushing it away because this is what I'm going to believe now.
So that must be what big wild love is, having the confidence to believe that you deserve.
Yes, it's the confidence of knowing. It's the courage and the confidence to understand those limiting beliefs that are driving you, to bat them away, and to love yourself enough to say, I am worthy. What I want is possible. And knowing that gives me the courage to bypass the fear or anything else and take all those risks that are involved in letting go, knowing that no matter what happens, if I achieve the thing I'm letting go of or for, no matter what happens along the way, if something scary happens in the tunnel or it doesn't, or I have an epiphany that is particularly jarring, I'm always going to be okay because I have me. I have my own back. I have the ground under my feet because I know that the things that I want are possible and that I am worthy of them. And that is what cultivating big wild love is. Because, you know, every single person, and so many people have reached out to me after seeing my talk, and so many people have reached back at me with mostly around love, but also around jobs. I had people come to me around caregiving, around their health. Mm-hmm. And every single one of them had the same issue, which is that they didn't believe the things they wanted were possible or that they deserved them. Somebody somewhere along the way, or some experience they had somewhere along the way, told them that this is what was available to them, that this was as much as they could expect. And once those things were removed, once they could see beyond those things, they stopped saying things like, but why did he, why did she, why did they, why did this external source do this to me? And they started looking inward and saying, ah, why did I choose it? Why did I stay with it? What appeal did it have for me? How can I do better? What do I need to release to go forward to actually have the things that I want and that I do deserve? And if that's a limiting belief that I'm not good enough, well, then I need to put that limiting belief either way. I need to revise it to be more empowering, to say, yes, no matter what size you are, you deserve love. You don't need to be perfect to have a great job or a great relationship, or, you know, you don't have to do everything right to raise wonderful adult children or to find sanity inside of that experience. So, you know, we can revise the talk track that way. But yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's it goes right even down to disappointments. You know, if somebody disappoints you or a situation disappoints you, why? And if it does, then you just turn it and you move on, and you have to figure that out. It doesn't have to be great big, but it can be in some everyday decisions and everyday realizations. There's a great quote in your book: people who love themselves know that they always have choices and they don't attach to one right path. Yeah. And I guess if I was going to pull anything out of your book, this to me is what cultivates that big wild love. And yeah, going one layer deeper, it's a big wild love of self. And we don't right, in the health space, give enough time to, we work on our health, but we don't work on the love of self, which is at the root of all health.
It really is at the root of everything.
It is.
It's at the root of everything. And, you know, if we don't cultivate that for ourselves, then, you know, we're always going to find our way to some things that have us question what we may be doing because we're not holding true to ourselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yes, I love that you keep coming back to this disappointment idea, because we can't control what happens outside of us. We can shoot for a particular goal, but, you know, I mean, I know for me, Kathy, you know, I had a book come out in the middle of the pandemic and, you know, everything got canceled. And so if I didn't have big wild love, I mean, it could have really like pulled down so much, but I knew that that had nothing to do with me, my worth or my value or the value of my work, and could continue to move forward. It's a small example, but, you know, it really is. We can aim for something, but we have to be prepared to deal with any unintended consequences. And when you have big wild love, you're like, okay, mm-hmm, all right, we're going to go down a different road. It's okay.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, you said something there about it may be a small thing, but you know what? You take care of the small things.
Right.
And maybe you don't have a big thing. And there is, and I think, you know, as you bring out in the book, as we've developed in the conversation, there's no finish line here. Life is all about, you know, situation, reaction, change of pace, change of thought. And it cannot, you know, it doesn't always have to be that scary tunnel. It can be like a liberating thing where you're like, hey, you know, I'm just going to forget that and move on in this direction. I think by putting this, you know, putting pen to paper and having something tangible for people to bite their teeth into is a wonderful thing. And I congratulate you so much on your book, Big Wild Love, and on the TED Talk. It's just, to me, it's just such an admirable thing when you can get up and speak your truth and write your truth. So I congratulate you wholeheartedly on that. Where can people find your book?
You can find my book pretty much anywhere books are sold. You can go to my website at letgoforit.com. Amazon, of course, has it. And I really appreciate you saying that, because I will say that one of the things I did not want to do was write a theoretical book about letting go. I really wanted to give people a very tangible, actionable way to actually do it. So there's lots of exercises and stories in there, and I hope that it's helpful. I hope people get it and do the exercises and really, you know, come to cultivate that big wild love that they need to really be able to let go and create space in life for what they really, really want, because we are not here forever, as we all know. So it's letgoforit.com. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate it. And as we were talking, I was learning and, you know, internalizing a lot of it. So thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate you taking your time. And everybody, we will talk to you next week on The Health Hub.
Been listening to The Health Hub, hosted by Kathy Biasi, here on Radio Maria Canada.